The title of the message this morning is called Courage in Closeness. Courage in Closeness. And we have been studying the Gospel of Mark, and today we're going to look at probably a pretty familiar story. It's a familiar Bible story, a familiar story of Jesus, but even though this is a familiar story, you probably aren't... We hear it from a different perspective. We hear it usually more from Peter's perspective than from this perspective that we're going to see this morning. So I'm very excited about it. So if you have your Bible, you can turn to Mark chapter 6, verses 45 through 56. If you don't have a Bible, there's a Bible in front of you. And you can take that Bible home with you if you would like. And if you have a smartphone, then it probably has a Bible on it because that's the way we live. Mark chapter 6, verses 45 through 56. Would you stand with me as I read this passage? I forgot, stand, and we're going to read this text this morning. Mark 6, 45 through 56. Immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had taken leave of them, he went up on the mountain to pray. And when evening came, the boat was out on the sea, and he was alone on the land. And he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. And he meant to pass by them. But when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost. And they cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." And he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased, and they were utterly astounded, for they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. When they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret and moored to the shore. And when they got out of the boat, the people immediately recognized him and ran about the whole region and began to bring the sick people on their beds to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he came, in villages and cities or countryside, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and implored him that they might touch even the fringe of his garment. And as many as touched him were made well. Thank you for standing, for attention, for the Word of God. You may be seated. Here is the familiar story of Jesus walking on the water. Jesus walking on the water. I so appreciate this story, one of the most famous passages of the Scripture. But there's some interesting things in here that maybe we don't often think about when we think of the story of Jesus walking on the water. For instance, look back at verses 51 and 52, and it says this. He got into the boat with them, the wind ceased, and they were utterly astounded, for they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. This is such a weird verse, in my opinion, to describe their emotional reaction to Jesus walking on the water, right? Maybe we need a little bit of background context. The story right before this was the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. And we preached about this just 2 weeks ago. Jesus feeding the 5,000, and they have just a handful of loaves and a couple of fish, and all of a sudden, all of the people are fed. And the main message that I wanted you guys to take away from that is this lesson that in Christ, we always have more than we think we have. In Christ, we always have more than we think we have. But here, right after that scene of Jesus multiplying and creating this abundance for them, now he sends them out on the boat, and he goes and walks out to them and gets onto the boat, and it says they didn't understand about the bread. In other words, they forgot this lesson that in Christ, they always have more than they think they have. Always have more. I love that the phrase that we have more. We have an abundance. Other words for abundance. Leftovers, surplus, overflow. My cup runneth over. In Christ, you have way more than you think you have. But what about when you're not with Christ? And I think this is the part where their hearts were hardened. I think this is what happened, where they forgot this main lesson about the provision of Christ, about the abundance of Christ. Because they were with Christ out here on the countryside with all these 5,000, and with Christ, he's like, hey, here's bread, and here's more bread, and here's more bread, and look at the abundance that you have when you're with me. But now, I need to be alone, and so I'm sending you guys, get on the boat, and go to the other side. And they said, all right, Jesus, we're going to obey you, we're going to do what you told us. We get on the boat, and now we are separated from you. We are disconnected. And in that disconnect, in that separation, it says that the wind began to blow hard against them, and they were making headway painfully. They were making headway painfully. They were straining at the oars. I'm not a aquatically inclined individual. The other day, our family had a little get-together over at Lake Poway, and we were on the shores of Lake Poway, and all of the children were throwing fishing poles into the water. Not fishing lines. They were throwing the whole poles. And I observed, I remarked, like, every story that I've read as a Poway, for those of you who don't know me, I am a born and raised Poweegian. I have lived here in Poway for a very long time. My whole life, basically. And my perception of every story of Jesus on the lake, every single one, I think of Lake Poway, which is ridiculous. This is not at all what the lake is, the Sea of Galilee. It's not, it's way, way different. But I'm always thinking about it. Now, if you asked me to go to Lake Poway today and to row from one side to the other, I could probably, maybe do it. Give me a few hours, all day. But it's so hot today, there's no way, actually. I can't do it. Yeah? If Jesus were to command me, though, get in the boat and take it to the other side, I would say, okay, Jesus, I'm going to do it. But this is a way more difficult task than crossing Lake Poway. This is several miles, and Jesus told them to go out there, and he get on the boat, and they're rowing, but they're going against the wind. They're rowing against the wind. They're not running against the wind. It's really hard. They're making headway painfully in obedience to the command of Jesus. And it's in this situation on the middle of the lake, when they're exhausted, when they feel like they can't keep going, but they're trying to obey, that they see what they think is a ghost. Now they're really upset. They're very afraid. Now we know the other stories, the other gospel accounts say that Peter has this whole, hey, maybe that's like Jesus, and he gets out there and he sinks. But Mark doesn't emphasize that at all. Mark's story is not to focus in on Peter, but to focus in on the entire experience of all of the disciples. So it's really for all of us. When we're in that situation where we're trying to obey Jesus, where we're going, we're doing exactly what he told us to do, we're in the boat and we're straining at the oars. Leo knows what that's like because he's in the Navy. Right? You're going to be out there and you're straining. All right, God, I'm obeying you. But it feels really hard and scary. And I don't know if I can keep going. I don't know if I have enough to continue. And you see, that's the problem. They forgot the lesson of the bread. They forgot that in Jesus, you have way more than you think you have. Way more. Maybe the reason they forgot it is because Jesus wasn't, in their minds, present with them. Maybe they believed in the power of Jesus, but only in the presence of Jesus. So what I want to encourage all of us this morning is that we need both the prevailing power and the perpetual presence of Jesus. We need both. We need to believe in his power, but also that his power is when he is with us, and he is always with us. Consider the Great Commission. Remember the words of Jesus that he left his disciples with, and he sent them out. He said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Matthew 28:18-20. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Jesus says two things there. I have all the authority and I am always with you. I have the prevailing power and the perpetual presence. I am with you. This is the lesson that the disciples on the boat needed to hear. They needed to believe. They needed to know that not only is Jesus all-powerful and abundantly able to provide everything they will ever need, but that he was present with them. And that's what I want us to hear this morning. I want us to be able to believe what he's teaching the disciples. So how are we going to do this? There's a single word that Jesus says that we translate it more than one word. But this Greek word, I think it's super cool, and I want us to consider it this morning. The Greek word is tharseo. Tharseo. And it's translated in my English Standard Version, which we read as take heart. Take heart. But other translations will describe it in a different way. So the King James Version, Jesus says to them, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." Tharseo. Be of good cheer. When do we say anything like "be of good cheer"? Christmas. That's like the only time we use the word cheer. Or if you're at that like bar in Boston. That's a dated reference of a sitcom that none of you, you're all too young to know. Oh, good, good. Cheer. Good cheer. Why do we sing it at Christmas? Tharseo. Good cheer. The NIV says, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." Take courage. Take heart. Be of good cheer. The Message simply says, "Courage!" with an exclamation point, so I guess it's not simple. It's yelling, "Courage!" The Holman Christian Standard Version says, "Have courage. It is I." So this tharseo word, take heart, be of good cheer, have courage. This is a good word for us, church. This is a word that I want you to leave here this morning. Thinking courage. I mean, we use this word encouragement all the time, but do we ever actually think that the word encouragement has at its heart courage? Courage. Courage. Be courageous. Be bold. Be of good cheer. Jesus is with you. Jesus is with you. Now, this word tharseo, this courageous word, this good cheer word, this take heart word, is used a couple of other times, not very many, but a couple of other times in the New Testament. So I wanted to look at those times and see something that hopefully will encourage all of you. So let's look at four individuals who are told to have tharseo in the New Testament. There's four different individuals that this word comes to them. Tharseo! Be of good cheer. Have courage. The first is the forgiven paralytic. Now, we've heard this story before, where the man who's paralyzed and he's incapable of moving, he has friends that take him and carry him over to where Jesus is, and they can't get into where he is, so they tear open the roof of the building and they lower him down into the presence of Jesus. Right? This is a cool story, showing the encouragement of the friendship that comes along. But you remember the story also that Jesus doesn't just say, "Oh wow, this is really cool that your friends are lowering you down. Now you can get up and walk." No, instead, Jesus says, "Take heart, your sins are forgiven." It's in Matthew 9, chapter 2. "Behold, some people brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, 'Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven.'" Take heart. Tharseo, encouragement. Be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. The second individual that we see that is told to Tharseo is the hemorrhaging woman, the woman with the issue of blood who is bleeding for 12 years. What happens there? In Matthew 9:22, she comes and touches Jesus, and Jesus turns and seeing her says, "Take heart, daughter. Your faith has made you well." And instantly, the woman was made well. This amazing story, declaration of faith. She pushes through the crowd to touch Jesus. And he says to her, "Courage, Tharseo, be of good cheer." Later, I'm going to preach a message. Haven't got there yet because we're working our way through Mark. But blind Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus, meaning the son of Timaeus. In Mark 10:49, he's blind. It says, and Jesus stopped. And so he's calling out in Matthew 10:49. Again, we'll preach this message later on. But he's calling out, "Hey, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stops and says, "Call him." And they called the blind man and they said to him, "Take heart, get up. He's calling you." So again, Tharseo, he's calling you. Be of good cheer. Be of good courage. Jesus is calling you. And then finally, Paul, the apostle Paul, he's imprisoned. And Jesus, here's the story in Acts 23:11. He's in prison, mind you. That following night, the Lord stood by him and said, "Take courage. For as you have testified to the facts about me in Jerusalem, so you also must testify in Rome." So here's Paul imprisoned, awaiting to stand trial, and he doesn't know the outcome of that trial. He's not sure what's going to happen, but the Lord appears and stands by him and says, "Tharseo, be of good cheer." Now, I don't know about you guys, but I've never been on trial. Maybe a few of you have. You know what? I hope we get more people who have been on trial coming into church, because you guys understand the power of the deliverance of Jesus. But imagine this. Here's Paul, and he's on trial. He knows that the next day his conviction is coming. Man, I don't want to. How do you sleep in that situation? You don't know the outcome. You don't know what's going to happen. That's got to be terrifying. Scary. But the Lord appeared next to him and said, "Tharseo, Tharseo, be of good cheer." Now, there's a connecting point to all of these stories that is so critical for us to receive. We have to hear this. We have to understand this. What brings them all together? It's closeness to Jesus. The paralytic is dropped down to be right in front of Jesus. The woman presses through the crowd to touch the garment of Jesus. Bartimaeus is crying out and they say, "Take heart, he's bringing you to himself." And here the Apostle Paul, imprisoned, has the Lord stood by him. Be of good cheer. Jesus is here. He's near. He's close to you. And of course, the disciples on the boat, they thought they were far from Jesus. And then the thing that they were most afraid of turned out to be Jesus. He is close. And he says, "Be of good cheer." But as a good teacher, Jesus is always good. He covers both sides. It's not just a do this, but it's also a don't do that. So be of good cheer, but also here's a negative that you need to avoid. And that is very simply, fear not. Have courage and don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Fear not. Now, I already asked you earlier, when do we talk about cheer? Christmas. Why do we talk about cheer at Christmas? Well, because that's the time of good cheer. That's the time where we recognize the coming to us, the coming nearness of Jesus. Consider again what the shepherds heard on the night of Christ's birth in Luke 2, 9 through 11. The angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not! For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And his name is Emmanuel." And Emmanuel means God with us. And they looked at each other and they said, "Come, let's see this thing that the Lord has done." The angel has come near to tell us that we can come near to what? To God coming near. God coming near. The nearness of God, the closeness of Jesus Christ is the antidote to all of our fears. It is because he has come near that we can have tharseo, that we can have the good cheer, that we can be confident. As it says in Hebrews 13:6, we can confidently say, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? I will not fear." The message this morning is called Courage in Closeness. What I want you to have this morning is a courage and a fearlessness that flows from closeness to Jesus Christ. I don't know if, have any of you ever been on the internet? There's some things on there, if you spend any bit of time, that might make you afraid. I'm not just talking about cat memes. Those are terrifying. No, you spend a little bit of time on the news, on any news website that you guys, you crazy political partisans might be a part of, whether you're on a CNN or a Fox News or an MSNBC or whatever it is that you're on, you're going to find something that's going to make you afraid. Whether it's climate or lawless gangs running about or corrupt judicial systems, whatever. There's something you need to be very afraid of. Did anybody look at the news this morning? I hope not, because you're here on Sunday. It's Good News Day. No. Even maybe you're like, "I'm so sick of the news. I never look at the news. All I do is follow my friends on social media." Praise God. Awesome. Cool. Do they ever do anything that makes you afraid? Any of you on Poway Neighbors? You guys should be terrified. Coyotes are running rampant. And they're not just looking for the roadrunners. I'm telling you, they're trying to steal your children. It's awful. It's a terrifying world out there. Next Door, anybody on Next Door? Yeah, you have a Ring cam. You should be afraid. People are delivering things right to your doorstep. It's awful. Who knows what's coming next? There's countless things telling us to be afraid, be very afraid, right? That's what we live in. And ironically, because we're like in the safest, healthiest time in human history, but whatever, forget that. You should be afraid. No, you shouldn't. I don't want anyone here to live in fear. I want you to have tharseo, courage, good cheer, because you can be close to Jesus. You can be near to Jesus. He will show up in the middle of your straining, in the middle of the painful headway that you are making. If you are in obedience to Jesus, if you are doing what Jesus has told you to do, if he said, "Get on the boat and go all the way to Asia," if he's told you to do it and you're obeying him, then you can be assured that he knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly what you are doing, and he will be close to you, so you have nothing to fear. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Closeness to Jesus. Consider what Jesus told his disciples in John 16, 31 through 33. Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming, indeed it has come, when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. Hear this. You see what he's saying? You will leave me alone. You will be the ones that run away from me. You will be the ones that when the guards come and arrest me and drag me off to stand trial before Pontius Pilate, you're going to be the ones that run. I'm going to be the one that's dragged away. You will all leave me alone. Now, you remember what Peter said? Oh, no, I'm never going to leave you. It's like, yeah, right. You're going to leave me alone. Yet, I am not alone, for the Father is with me. Where does Jesus' courage come from? Where does his own personal tharseo come from? His closeness to the Father. He is so near the Father. He is so close to the Father. He is one with the Father that he has courage for what he knows is coming. The disciples, they will abandon him. They will run. They will flee. They will hide. They will deny they even know him. But he is one with the Father. So he says, I'm not alone. The Father is with me. And now look what he says. I've said these things to you that in me you may have peace. You're going to run. You're going to hide. You're going to abandon. But if you're in me, you can have peace. Now, think about this. Think about this. In me, you will have peace. He says, you're going to all run and hide, but if you are in me, then you'll have peace. Where is the in me? Where is Jesus in that place? He's nailed to the cross. The place that they all ran from, the place that he goes to, the cross, with his arms stretched wide and his hands nailed to the cross, his feet nailed to the cross, a crown of thorns shoved into his skull, blood dripping from all over his body, his back beaten and whipped and torn to pieces, suffocating under his own weight, gasping out for air. That's the in me you will have peace. Disciples, man, they go, what? In me you'll have peace. He's just to emphasize this, he says, in the world you will have tribulation. In the world, you will have tribulation. You will have suffering. You will have pain. You will have the cross. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. The reason why tharseo matters so much, why we have to hear, have courage, don't be afraid, is because there are many, many things to be afraid of. There are very real and genuine threats and dangers. I had a good time having dinner with Carl and Rita last night, just talking missions, talking about what God's doing around the world. And church, we are really spoiled. We live in a very, 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 very ridiculously safe culture and climate. There's no guarantee that that will exist and continue, but it is our reality. We don't really understand tribulation. Tribulation for us is when, you know, the air conditioning breaks. And look, I don't like it. It's hot. I wear a sport coat. You think I want to wear a sport coat and it's not air conditioned? That'd be terrible. I'd have to take it off. Tribulation, suffering, pain, betrayal, rejection, heartache. You will have this in the world. Your faith will be tested. But Jesus says, in me you have peace. How can we have peace in you, Jesus? How can we have peace if you're dead on a cross? He didn't stay dead, because he goes on. Take heart. I have overcome the world. In this world, you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world. If you're obeying me, you may be out in the middle of the lake, straining hard against a wind that is blowing so furiously against you. You may fear that you're going to be swamped and overwhelmed and destroyed and drowned. You may fear it, but take heart. Take heart. I have overcome the world. I will walk out onto the water and be right there next to you, and I will get into the boat with you, and I will remind you, be of good courage. Be of good cheer. Take heart. Don't be afraid. I have conquered death. I have risen from the grave. My death has paid the penalty for all of your sins, and my life is now for you. My life, the things that I live for, to serve, to honor, to bless, to raise up. That life that I have lived now, I give to you, and I am calling you to live it. In me, you will have peace. So the in me means that not only is that death on the cross where you are, but you are also in that resurrected Jesus who has been raised from the dead and who has ascended into heaven, who sits at the right hand of the Father. And you likewise, if you have faith in Christ, are seated with him in heavenly places, far above all of the rulers and the principalities of this world. Take heart. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Psalm 118, 5-7 says, out of my distress, I called on the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me free. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is on my side as my helper. I shall look in triumph on those who hate me. Church, Tharseo, be of good cheer. All right, now you're like, okay. That's what it's like when Jesus is with you. But is Jesus really with me? And so this is the last thing I want to leave you with this morning. It's the key to all of this, the key to unlocking all of this courage. Walk by faith, not by sight. The disciples did not understand that the lesson of the bread. They didn't recognize that Jesus wanted to be with them in the boat, that he was with them. Because all they could see was the wind against them. They were walking by sight. Even when they saw Jesus, they didn't see Jesus, they saw a ghost. Because they didn't have faith. So you might be in a situation today where you say, Pastor, I hear you, I want to be of good cheer, but I feel so far from Jesus. I don't see him. Where is he? And to that, I remind you, walk by faith, not by sight. You may not see Jesus, but that doesn't mean he's not with you. You may not feel his presence, but that doesn't mean he's not there. He's the one that promised, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. He's the one who gave us his Holy Spirit to dwell within our hearts by faith. 2 Corinthians 5, 6-8. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage and would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. You see, our courage tells us, I want to be near, I want to be close, I want to be with Jesus. But I'm not with him. I can't physically touch him. So what do I do? I walk by faith, not by sight. I believe his promises. I trust in them. I, even if I don't see Jesus standing next to me, will cling to the promise of Psalm 118. The Lord is on my side. He's with me. If you'll receive that this morning, church, then you can tharseo. You can take courage. You could be of good cheer. You could go forward to whatever he has called you to do, obediently, joyfully, abundantly walking in his ways. I'd like the worship team to come back up this morning. I had such a good time this morning singing Praise the Lord. You guys really rocked that this morning. I wonder if you could do it again. Church, would you stand with me? I'm going to pray over you and we're going to sing this song. Praise the Lord. No matter where you are, no matter what you're going through, praise the Lord. Trust Him. Believe in Him. Last Sunday, Madison prayed to receive Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior, knowing that He is now dwells in her heart through faith. This morning, after we dismiss, if you'd like to come up here and pray, I don't know everyone here this morning. I don't know if you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but today's the day. Now is the time. Come up here and join with our prayer team and pray and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. We will rejoice with you. If you're in the middle of a storm, if you're making headway painfully, straining at the oars, and you need to know that Jesus is with you, come up here and receive prayer. He is with you. But so are your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. That's why it's so good to belong to a church family. We pray for one another. We represent Christ to one another. I'm so thankful. Jesus, we praise you. We love you. We glorify you. Thank you for drawing near to us and for inhabiting our hearts by faith, by grace. Lord, we want to be of good courage and to be unafraid. So fill our hearts and our minds today with your presence. Let us live in obedience to you, turning from our old ways and turning towards the calling that you have given us. We love you, Lord. We praise you. Be glorified in our lives. Amen.